It's an issue that's hung over successive Bougainville governments. What to do about the Panguna mine? Once one of the world's largest copper mines, it's now a post-apocalyptic landscape of rusting equipment and decaying buildings. It was opposition to the mine, its environmental impact, and the perceived lack of benefits for locals that sparked the decade-long civil war that left thousands of people dead from fighting malnutrition and disease in the 1990s. Despite its bloody history, the Vice President of the autonomous Bougainville government, Patrick Nasira, says most Bougainvillians are open to the idea of reopening Panguna and possibly allowing other large-scale mining developments to provide a much-needed source of revenue.
Some Bougainvillians completely oppose either form of large-scale mining, but my strong impression from my wide travels and consultation over Bougainville is that a solid majority is open to both possibilities. However, all insist that any new mining that occur must be under a totally different set of conditions than those under which the colonial regime imposed Panguna mines operations in Bougainville.
Mr. Nasira says most Bougainvillians are also open to operations resuming at Panguna under the mine's former owner, Bougainville Copper Limited, because a new operator may reject responsibility for what he described as mine legacy issues. He says neither Panguna nor any other mine will open without the agreement of affected landowners, as stipulated under the mining law passed by the government last year.
Its law provides that owners of customary land also own all minerals on, in or under their land. Such rights are accompanied by landowner veto rights over either intensive mineral exploration on the land and or the grant of licenses for mining development. As a result, neither Panguna nor any other mine will open in the future without landowner agreement.
Bougainville's president, John Momus, recently used an address in Parliament to initiate a debate on whether to lift the decades-old moratorium that prevents mining exploration and development in areas outside Panguna. Mr. Nasira says a decision on whether to lift the moratorium would only be made after wide public consultation. But he admits the government does not have the funds to conduct an extensive public awareness and consultation program. So MPs have been asked to consult their constituents ahead of another debate in Parliament.
Only after that will the Cabinet consider a possible decision on the future of the 1997-71 moratorium.
The Vice President says the government's task of dealing with mining issues has been made more difficult by what he describes as the amazing extent of deeply misleading public commentary. He says it comes from two sources.
One involves small groups in Bougainville. The other is a closely linked external network. Their main message is that in some way, never explained and with no credible evidence ever provided, the ABG is under the control of or part of a conspiracy with Rio Tinto, BGL, Australia and Papua New Guinea. This conspiracy, or so they say, is intended to force the reopening of Panguna mine against a united opposition of the people of Bougainville.
Mr. Nasira says those behind the misleading commentary regularly attack the government for inadequate consultation on mining issues, and he admits that providing accurate information to Bougainvillians is a mammoth task. Radio coverage only extends to a third of the population. Newspapers have limited reach, and the government cannot afford the huge costs of conducting face-to-face consultations. He says the government is doing the best it can with the little resources it has.
While undoubtedly the ABG faces many complex and very difficult leadership challenges, we are facing them honestly. We constantly explore our best options for dealing with them. Although our resources are extremely limited, we work hard to change those situations and to face our challenges head on.